following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 227, recorded on Thursday, August 17th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Brad Ludwig. Coming up on this episode, extraterrestrials are among us. Are you one? And aliens have a roadmap to Earth. Those stories, plus our sightings and pics. Before all that, though, the question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
How do you think aliens might mask the fact that they're invading Earth? Say they come to Earth and they want to do a sneak attack. How would they go about doing that, Brad?
So unrest among the masses.
Ooh.
So that everybody's distracted and focusing on disasters or other riots or other things that are going on.
Okay. I like that a lot.
And you just kind of slide in under the radar.
My thought is that they would arrive with an asteroid or a comet. Like they would hide behind the asteroid or in the comet's tail. And then they'd just like drop off. And then they'd cruise on over to Earth, start havocing. Havocing? No, that's not.
I just like your...
I don't know, some other ways they could get involved in politics and become the leader of a country and ruin said country. That's a thought.
That could happen.
I'm not saying that's related to anything in real life. I'm just saying, you know, that's a possibility if the aliens wanted to take over stealthily.
That could work.
Any other ones? Let's get a couple more here. So they're approaching Earth, and they don't want to be seen. Hey, they could do Star Trek First Contact. They could hide behind the moon. Well, that's kind of like my asteroid idea. Never mind. Remember when the Enterprise was behind the moon and the Vulcans arrived? First Contact Day? They didn't want to be seen?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that's all we got.
Yeah, I think those would be the best ways to go about it.
All right. If you have any thoughts, dear listener, let us know. Contact at gncasts.com, 805-328-3966, or jump on to our website and leave us feedback via our SpeakPipe, gncasts.com. And speak! Speak!
In the news...
This is kind of sad, actually.
Oh, why did you want to start the show with a sad story?
Well, it could be sad or it could be good. It could be, well, let's find out here. Aliens could conquer Earth and destroy humanity by following dangerous maps NASA foolishly sent into space.
Stupid NASA.
Yeah. Now, you're probably wondering, how could you hem and haw and have that be good news? Well, I mean, we don't really have proof that they're going to be evil aliens. So anyways, we'll get back into it here. Back in the optimistic early days of space exploration.
You have to do your old man voice.
I'm sorry. Back in the optimistic early days of space exploration.
That's better.
Everyone thought it was a great idea to offer aliens a chart telling them how to find planet Earth. But now astronomers fear this decision could prove to be disastrous.
Dun, dun, dun. Wish we had the...
I missed the old soundboard.
Soundboard.
Frank Drake, an American astronomer. He sounds like an adventurer, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Frank Drake.
He does. Yeah, you're right.
An American astronomer and famed alien hunter. Oh, see, there we go. Worked with NASA to design maps, which were placed inside Pioneer 10 and 11, as well as Voyagers 1 and Voyagers 2. It's not Voyagers. I'm sorry. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2.
Of course, one of them would turn out to be V'ger.
Yes. I think that was Voyager 1 that turned into V'ger, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. All four of these spaceships have now left the solar system and are speeding through deep space. The plaque placed aboard the Pioneer craft shows a man and a woman alongside a basic map, which plots the position of Earth compared to distant pulsar stars, which are bright and long-lasting, so could still direct aliens our way if they are found millions of years from now. Voyager was fitted with golden records, which can be played to reveal natural sounds and even images from Earth. A similar pulsar map is engraved on the front of the records. In those days, all the people I dealt with were optimists, and they thought the ETs would probably be friendly. Drake told National Geographic, nobody thought, even for a few seconds, about whether this might be a dangerous thing to do. Ah, the halcyon days of optimism.
Famous last words.
Yeah. Many scientists now believe contacting extraterrestrials is a spectacularly bad idea. Professor Stephen Hawking recently warned that meeting an advanced civilization could be like Native Americans encountering Columbus. Yikes. That didn't turn out so well, he said. Yeah, he's right. He claimed alien life could be rapacious marauders. What a word. Rapacious marauders roaming the cosmos in search of resources to plunder. They're pirates, I guess. And planets to conquer and colonize. Now, of course, this story is from thesun.co.uk. So a little sensationalism in there for you.
I have a reaction to this story, Brad.
Yes.
Oh, I found the soundboard, but now it's not playing. Here we go.
Alan, nice.
Alan.
Oh, back in the day. Takes you back, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Interesting story, sir. So, explain to me in the most basic sense how this roadmap works. And I say road in quotations because there aren't any roads in space.
There are no roads in space. Since you have asked, I might be able to help you visualize how this would work, Dave.
Oh, I can't wait.
That sounded sarcastic.
No, not at all.
Okay, for those of you who are checking us out on YouTube, for this particular map, here we have down at the bottom is our solar system, right? And this states that we are like the third from the sun here.
Okay.
And that this particular craft that they have managed to get, which actually has this map and the picture of humans, you know, went around. Oh, what is that? That would be Venus or Jupiter. That'd be Jupiter, in between Jupiter and Saturn. And it got slung out, and that was the course that it took. This, which looks like a big starburst.
Yeah, it's a circle with all these like lines jutting out.
Yeah, that is the pulsar. I thought that they had some kind of sort of a legend or something like that to kind of explain where we were in relationship to this star that's going to last a very, very long time.
Okay.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, of course, this was done before Pluto was off the list. But anyways, viewers.
There's naked people. And then what's the thing behind the naked people? It looks like.
That is the craft.
Oh, okay.
There's the dish and there's the. That had the kind of the pyramid framework for the antenna dish.
Okay, so what's the two circles at the top?
This is the illustration of hydrogen, or It's supposed to be like one of the basic building blocks, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
Let me see if they explain any more. No, they don't. Shoot.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that's...
I thought it was like hydrogen or carbon or something like that. And, well, if I'm wrong, dear listeners, contact us at aliens@gncast.com.
All right. Cool. So I hope that if they are friendly, they're more than welcome to use the map. If they aren't friendly, I hope they don't. I hope they look at it and go, what does all that mean? It's all Greek to me.
Or they take a wrong turn. Harold, why don't you stop and get directions?
You never want to ask people where to go. You should have turned right at Flower Car 7. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
All right, Brad, what's new? What's going on? What's happening? What's new in your world?
Well, Nessa and I have now officially set our wedding date and have the church booked.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
One more, two more steps down, a billion more to go.
Yeah. So we've got that. And then today, this day that we're recording is Thursday. On Saturday, in 2 days, we are going to be putting the money down on the actual reception venue.
Stuff's getting real.
Yeah. Getting very real. June 30th, Dave.
June 30th. I need to put that on my calendar because I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward
with
to it.
Bells on, perhaps?
Yes. I'm going to get some bells at the airport if we fly. If we drive, I'll pick it up on the way there. Cool. Anything else going on? I'm guessing it's all wedding stuff, right? That's what your life is dominated with right now.
Yeah, for the most part. That's consumed our minds at this point, so.
Trying to think what's going on here. My busy summer is coming to a close. Stephanie's back at work. I've only got 2 weeks left of just crazy hours, and it's back to somewhat normality. I saw a bird standing on the ground today, looking at a fence, just standing still, and I don't know what's going on. The bird disappeared when I wasn't out there, so I'm guessing maybe he was asleep. Do birds sleep standing up? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
To the Googles.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I would love to know. You're looking it up.
Yeah.
Do birds sleep standing up?
Ah, okay. So perching birds, what is it? Passerines? Or perching birds stand on their toes, not the flats of their feet as humans do, depending on the species. Birds sleep while standing or sitting with their feet locked on perches.
All right.
So there is that potentially was a sleeping bird that you saw, sir.
All right. Good to know. Are you ready for this, Brad? This is going to blow your mind.
Is it?
Yes. Extraterrestrials that look like humans are among us.
What?
Okay, we need to do that again. Hang on. E.T. that looks like us are among us. Now I remember why we got rid of the soundboard. That shocking claim was made by Marcus Allen, who is the publisher of the UK alternative news magazine Nexus, which provides monthly updates for so-called truthers on conspiracy theories and other alternative philosophies. Mr. Allen made the staggering claim to a packed audience of the 27th Glastonbury Symposium, an annual event dedicated to all things paranormal and New Age. I hope this guy doesn't... I should have looked into him. I hope he doesn't make some claims that we don't like. I never thought to do that. I apologize if that's the case. Okay, he claimed that there was a difference between aliens and extraterrestrials, and that both of them were already on Earth, but their existence has been covered up by world leaders. He said, aliens do not look like us, but ETs, extraterrestrials, do look like us. What the hell's the difference between aliens and extraterrestrials?
I'm not sure.
I don't think there is a difference. I don't know. He says there could be some here now, and you wouldn't know. The person next to you could be an alien, and you would have no idea. Is that a scary thought, or is that a cool thought?
I think that's a little scary, but you know, with what we mentioned before, if you're going to like start riots and things like that, spread chaos and mayhem, now would be the time.
So maybe the aliens are like V, like they had a human look, but they were actually like lizard aliens. They were like masks they wore, right?
Yes.
So he then extended the theory to suggest that all humans could in fact be aliens who came to Earth from another planet before our primitive ancestors. We've talked about this a few times. I think a couple episodes ago we discussed it. I believe when I was talking about my pick for Ancient Aliens, that episode that we talked about.
Yeah, and when we've talked about panspermia before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's
so.
Sort of the same thing, but not really, because I think what he means is actual living, breathing aliens, not like your human beings are somewhat made of things from outside of this planet, really. I think there's a difference there. Let's see. Mr. Allen said, in a way, we are all the extraterrestrials. Wait a second. Back up. Back the bus up. Going back to the part, he said aliens. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I thought he got that backwards. So aliens don't look like us, but extraterrestrials do. Okay. He suggested we may have originated from another planet in our distant past, or at least some of us may have. His claim appears to be in keeping with the popular Ancient Aliens conspiracy, that Ancient Aliens episode that I was talking about, a theory that suggests our ancient ancestors were visited by advanced intelligent aliens from outer space who helped civilizations create great monuments such as the pyramids of Giza and Stonehenge and were later worshipped as gods. The episode of Ancient Aliens that was brought up the last time on the show was the one that some aliens are Bigfoot, or Bigfoot is the tool of aliens. That was what the subject of that was. Mr. Allen is best known as, oh boy, a moon landings conspiracy theorist.
Who
believes that NASA faked the Apollo missions by filming footage of astronauts on the moon inside studios before deceiving the world. I don't like Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen can go to hell.
Allen!
Oh, wait a second. Missed opportunity. Hang on. Mr. Allen can go to hell.
Allen! Allen!
It was longer than I thought it was.
That's what she said.
The space agency also says after all of its exploration throughout the solar system, it has found no evidence of intelligent aliens or even the most basic forms of life existing anywhere. Well, the search is not done yet. The search continues. The search... What's that Survivor song? Oh, that's The Search Is Over, right? Remember that song, The Search is Over?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That took a little while to remember.
Yeah, I think we played on Boom. Pretty sure we played. Anyways, this is interesting. I found this on express.co.uk. They have some great stuff on there. They're like the ultimate replacement for weekly...
World News?
World News Weekly. Weekly World News.
Weekly... Gosh.
Weird World Weekly? Wait a second. No, that's a podcast.
Yep. Gosh darn it.
Yeah. World News... Hang on. It's
Weekly World News.
Weekly World... Okay. Weekly World News.
All
right.
All I had to do is do a Google search for Bat Boy. And the Weekly World News was the winner.
All right. So, crazy conspiracy theorists everywhere. Your platform is waiting for you at express.co.uk. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to listen to your story and publish it on their website. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
Okay, so somewhere in the world, somebody saw something that may or may not be an extraterrestrial visiting our fine planet. Or it could be just a random light source in the sky.
But we can guarantee it was an unidentified flying object.
See, that's the thing. People always make that mistake by saying, "Oh, it's a UFO." Well, obviously, it is a UFO. What they should say is, "Oh, it's a flying saucer," or "Oh, it's an alien craft," right?
Yep, there is a distinct difference.
Yes. So you brought the sighting this week. So what do you got?
I have an interesting sighting that was reported to MUFON. The poster of this, so when I say I, it is not me. It is the person that wrote up this report. I lived in a 5-story building. Late at night, around 11 p.m., I was sitting on a windowsill looking out the window. At that time, I was 10 years old. It was probably April or May of 1991. We moved in June. So that night, my father was coming home late, and I was sitting on the windowsill waiting for him. My mother was in the kitchen. The strange part about the whole sighting is this. I am looking out the window. It's dark. I am very familiar with the view from this window. I sit there often, not looking at anything in particular, just looking out the window waiting for my father. I sit and occasionally see a neighbor come home. Someone leaves, lights turn on in some flats. Then from the corner of my eye, right eye if it matters, I see something blink. It is located on the roof of the building across from ours, a little to the right. I look to that spot on the roof, and there's nothing there. Remember, it's dark and some distance away. Not far, maybe half a football field. I'm trying to get the right inflection and pauses in here so it doesn't sound so weird, but this is like a big run-on paragraph, and that's not necessarily the poster's fault. It's just the formatting that got kicked out here. The building is 5 stories tall. I am on the 4th floor. I looked away. I looked straight. I see the light again. But from the corner of my eye, I look at it and it's not there. It goes on for a while, maybe 15 minutes. Then I look at it and it's there on the roof. I know that roof. My grandmother's sister
lives in that building.
Great aunt. Okay. Lives in that building. The lights are there. red light pulsating slower than the row of blue lights that are below the red light. I cannot tell the shape or whatever the lights are on. I tell my mom. She comes to the window and sees nothing. But I see it. She does not. I insist that she look again. She sees it too. We just stare. Then she grabs the phone and calls the neighbor above us. He is sleeping. They have exactly the same floor plan as us, one floor up. She tells him to look out of his window. He sees nothing. He comes down to us. Same thing. Eventually, he sees it too. The lights are there. It's about midnight. Dad is still not home. We watch it for a while. We have no idea what it is. The neighbor goes home. Mom tells me to go to bed. I do. In the morning, there is nothing there. Same old roof. Dad does not believe us. Nobody does. Can the sighting be explained as any conventional man-made or natural object? No, it's like it was invisible until you trained your eye to see it.
I have my doubts about this. I really do. Like, you can look at something long enough and convince your mind that you're seeing some shape, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it was just his mind playing tricks on him, unfortunately. I'd love that to be true. I'd love this story to actually have happened. Well, to him it did actually happen, but I would love it that it was just like a flying saucer hanging on the roof. I just said roof. Roof. Sorry.
The roof. The roof. Yeah. The roof is on fire.
Saying roof is definitely like a, like you say roof, but I think saying roof is definitely like a Minnesota thing, and I've noticed it in other like Midwestern states more to the west, like Nebraska and South Dakota.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Aren't words fun?
They are, and especially when people pronounce them differently or...
Mm-hmm. I notice that accents. All the time being an American in Canada. It happens. I hear it all the time.
Vanessa was saying that, I can't remember if I mentioned this in a previous show, but Vanessa's mother is not a native English speaker. So if I talk to her mother about something that may be kind of complex, like I was helping her install a new light and she had some questions and I was trying to explain some things to her, I talk a little bit slower just to give her processing time. Like I said, because she's not a native English speaker. And Vanessa was saying that my Wisconsin accent became more pronounced as the slower I talked.
There's a thing with Canadians, and I think it may not be all Canadians. I think it's probably an Ontario thing or parts of Ontario because it's a huge province. But when they explain things, their voice goes like this, and it sounds like they're asking a question. And I've caught myself doing that. I've been here long enough for that to happen. Wanted to throw in something real quick that happened to me this week. I didn't see a UFO, but I was on the air on Saturday and got an email from this person that emails in all the time. But he said, I got this picture of, I took a capture of a webcam. They have a webcam set up for the Parliament building.
Oh, okay.
So he's watching the webcam, and he noticed an object floating in the sky to the right of what they call the center block, which is the, it's got the clock tower, the highest part of the building. And I made a blog about it, and it got a crazy amount of hits, like crazy amount of page views. I'm like, oh my God, people are actually really interested in weird alien UFO stuff. He said that he could definitely see, like he processed the picture. He put the picture through processing and also sent on like a negative, whatever that's called. Where the colors are reversed or whatever. And you could see actual structure on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It could be just a drone, but we thought it kind of looks like a UFO, so why not pipe it up as a UFO? It was fun. So that's my little sighting for the week. How would you like to be our partner? Brad, do you want another partner?
Sure. Who doesn't?
Yeah, we could use all the partners we could get. And you could be our partner just by going to gncasts.com/support and clicking on that Patreon link. And there's different levels of partners. There's the basic one where you just $1 a month and you get the reward of just being our partner. And then we have the bonuses that you get. For example, getting your name mentioned on the podcast, or even getting a whole message read. Say you want to promote a book coming out. I'm talking to you, JF Dubow. You could put a message on all of our podcasts, but on this podcast too. We'll read a message. Another level is you get bonus content. So please become our partner. We'd really appreciate it. Go to gncasts.com/support.
The galaxy far, far away feels closer now than ever before, and your guides through this galaxy are ready to help. I'm Zach Hagenbusher, one half of the new Jedi Archives podcast with Ben Schultz. Join us every other Tuesday for our experiences with the Star Wars saga, from the core films that we know and love, well, you know, some of them, to the annals of history and the works that shaped Star Wars into what we know it as today. Just jump in wherever you'd like. Download an episode of the new Jedi Archives today.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we?
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
Picks and warnings time. These are things that we have entertained ourselves with, relating somehow to aliens and extraterrestrials. And mine is the movie Life. Do you remember that? Came out earlier this year. It starred Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, I don't recall it at all.
They're on the space station. They're on the International Space
Station. Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
A probe goes to Mars, picks up a sample, like a soil sample, and then comes back and they capture it. And there's a scientist guy who later turns out, we find out that he is actually like paralyzed. But it doesn't matter when you're in zero G. He doesn't need to be able to move his legs, right? So that was kind of neat. He's the scientist. He starts doing like experiments with the soil. He changes the temperature. He adds different types of chemicals to match the Mars atmosphere, and that doesn't work. And then he realizes, oh, we should make the atmosphere what it was millions of years ago. So he does that, and life appears, like microbial life form. But the problem is, it keeps getting bigger.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
And comedy ensues. No, death and destruction ensue. It doesn't end well for the crew of the International Space Station. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow.
But I'm not spoiling anything because you see it all in the trailer for it.
Yeah.
This is as close as you will get to the original Alien without being Alien. Like, it's got all the hallmarks of Alien. But it's not Alien. It's called Life. I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 flying saucers. It's really good, really scary. Like, both Stephanie and I jumped at points in the film. She couldn't watch certain scenes. She's like, can you explain what's going on? Tell me when it's over. So we got the bejesus scared out of us, and it was a good film. And I thought Ryan Reynolds did a great job. Deadpool did an awesome job in this. So yeah, 5 out of 5 for Life. It's available now through your video on demand or pay-per-view, as it's called in some places. And I highly recommend it. Life, give it a watch. All right. Brad, what did you watch, listen to, read, play this week?
Well, I actually got a chance last night to build K-2 characters for a role-playing game called Starfinder.
Oh, neat.
And it's based off of Pathfinder, which is D&D 3.5. What's interesting about it is that it takes place in the same solar system as the Pathfinder books, essentially, the main Pathfinder world. But that world has disappeared. There was just a time where it just, boop, and it was gone.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, nobody knows how or why. But the rest of the solar system went on. And there are a number of different races that you can play. Now, I wish I had bought the book. A friend of mine just got his book yesterday or the day before. Now, there are a number of different races. They do have an android race, which is kind of interesting, and obviously not alien, but they have one of the races is the Vesk, and they're reptilian. Think of like a very big, stocky reptile, and they are really geared for battle. So, I mean, if you were to think about it, they would be like in classic D&D, like a fighter. You know, they would have a sword or an axe or whatever, and they just go to town. Well, I mean, they could have melee weapons, hand-based weapons like swords and that. But you obviously have laser weapons and conventional guns and things like that. And we spent some time like going through some of the races, and I wish I would have taken notes so I could have them all written down, but I did not. But there's a different race that they're humanoid, and they have four arms, and they are the Kasatha, and their planet is a desert-like planet called Kasath. And their home world is dying. The star is dying, so they've kind of made a huge world ship.
Okay, as you describe these aliens, I'm going to make noises that are appropriate to them. So this is this is the desert planet. Okay, that's kind of annoying. Go ahead.
We've got the Lashunta. They're also humanoid. They look far more human than the four-armed Kashaths that I just spoke of. But they are psychics. They're more adept at psychic abilities.
I'm reading your mind.
Then we've got the Shirin, which are a insectoid race.
And all their first names are Ed.
Yes.
Sorry.
Let's see. And they've got the Yasoki, which are they're like rats or mice, basically. They're smaller. You know, they're probably like about maybe 2 feet tall, but they look like humanoid mice. They, you know, walk on two legs. And what's really kind of interesting is in regular Pathfinder, you have like druids and you have mages and you have clerics and you have different branches of magic which have their own pros and cons, but they do have a classification of magic user, and I can't remember what the heck class that's called now, but they can use, like, if you were to compare it to Pathfinder type magic, it's like they get to use a number of different types of magic. So this is going to be a very big learning process for us to kind of retool. And here's the android race, which, like I said, obviously not alien, but so, yeah, in this game, you are traveling about, and you could be a mercenary, you could be an adventurer, you could be, you know, out and about for whatever reason. And each class, like, I decided I was going to be an android mechanic. Mechanic is my class. Mm-hmm. So I have bonuses to work with computers and mechanical items, fixing engines, fixing whatever. And then I took a theme, which is kind of interesting. You have these three different things. You have your race, your class, and a theme. And the theme I took was spacefarer. So I am an android mechanic spacefarer. So I just want to travel space and check things out.
Cool.
And like I said, this was just released, so we haven't had a chance to really dig into some of the other differences. Yes, it's Pathfinder and it's based around that framework, but there are some differences. And we're going to start getting into those a little bit when we start to play.
So you can't really give any kind of rating, right?
You know, as much as I would like to be able to give a rating, I really can't right now.
Okay. Yeah,
you're right. I can say, based on the character creation process, it was a little different, a little confusing, but like I said, it was the first time that we were doing it. But I like the way that they've kind of planned out these races, the different classes and the themes. Just reading through them, they seem to be really well thought out. Like I said, there's pros and cons. You can get bonuses or you can have points taken away for certain things. And it all seems to be really, really wonderful. So at this point, as a tentative, I've just created a character. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
All right.
Saucers. Sorry.
Get it right, bro. All right. So in review, we had Starfinder and Life, creepy extraterrestrial movie that takes place in space. And there's death. I can guarantee you there's death. And we'll put the links to both of these in the show notes. You can check them out for yourself.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going to gncast.com/subscribe or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. Clicky, click, click, clicky, clickety, click. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol for giving us our intro music, a song called Alien Syndrome. You can find that and all of his music at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also, thanks to Rutwad van Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about him by going to the Caravelle, thecaravel.net. And finally, thanks to Ben Olson.
Hi, Ben.
For recording our disclaimer audio at the very start of this episode, go to benolson.com for more about him. All right. Final thoughts, Mr. Brad.
I think I've, like, had my brain partially sucked out with just getting everything wedding-wise set up.
So your thought is the fact that all the wedding planning has given you a brain fry and you can't think of a final thought.
Correct.
All right, so it's a final thought about a final thought.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
All right.
I knew you'd understand, Dave.
We'll leave it at that. And thanks, everybody, for watching. We will, or listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.